Welcome to Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Thank you, folks, for joining us this week on Building the Bakken, the most trusted energy brand in the Bakken today. Building the Bakken is not a political program, rather an informational brand. No polarizing talk, just conversations about the facts of the energy industry. Here at the Crude Life Media Network, we generate positive energy. Building the Bakken is about the people, the community, and the industry, those who are involved with the evolution of the Bakken oil field and the oil and gas industry. On today's episode of Building the Bakken, we talk with Curtis Shuck, Executive Director for the Great Northern Corridor Coalition. He talks about the investments made in the rail companies and Bakken communities in order to satisfy the rise in demand of energy, ag, and manufacturing. And then we talk with Greg Walker, President of the Natural Resource Group, about the politicalization, the polarization of oil and gas, and how opponents are using us versus them shouting matches involving endangered species, public safety, and the DAPL pipeline. And then we talk with Terry O'Claire with our weekly Davis Refinery update about the number of emails and some of the other public comments that came in a little bit. We dissect them down and we find out that really the majority of them, let's say 10,500 out of the 11,000 emails, were duplicates. We discuss the Davis Refinery in the public comment period with Terry O'Claire with the Air Quality Division with the North Dakota Health Department. You're not going to want to miss that. It's like one of those fake news type stories where we actually open up what is fake about the news that's going on about these 11,000 emails out in the Bakken. Okay, and then in our final segment, we talk with North Dakota Governor and entrepreneur Doug Burgum. He talks about his vision on what is going to happen with coal, natural gas, and the Bakken oil fields. All that plus much more on today's episode of Building the Bakken Radio. Our singer spotlight this week, our singer-songwriter spotlight this week is Brooks West. The singer-songwriter Brooks West, and this is his music. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. It seems everywhere I go these days, someone is telling me about the success of Hatch Coaching. Listen to what professional speaker Mark J. Lindquist has to say.
To see Eric Hatch grow his business and then start to share it with other people, I think is one of those great steps in life. You know, what do you do in society? You succeed at a thing and then you teach other people how you did it. And now to see Eric duplicating his genius across the country, I'm telling you, there's a world changer down the street, and his name is Eric Hatch.
For more information, call 701-212-1572 or visit coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com.
Now it's easy to see how I could become.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Thank you, folks, for joining us right here on the most trusted energy brand in the Bakken today, Building the Bakken Radio. All right, up next, we talk with Curtis Shuck, Executive Director for the Great Northern Corridor Coalition.
Curtis Shuck on the line with us here. We're talking a little bit about, rail transportation would be the way to describe it. Curtis is with the Great Northern Corridor Coalition, and just a few more questions left here. I wanted to ask you about those exchanges again, and the last question I had on those was, I know some other people were looking at building, you know, areas close to the rail because of the environmental solutions and just kind of that new safety and environmental wave that was coming to light, and there was a lot of new requirements and regulations that came in with chemicals being shipped and different products being shipped on the rail. So is any of that construction coming to fruition? I haven't really followed up in the last few years on that, but was there a lot of investment being done in those areas where the rail, you know, comes and where people are doing the newer chemicals, if you will?
Yeah, we're definitely, you know, especially now with the rebounding crude oil price, we're starting to see more facility investment. You know, a lot of that was put on hold, you know, in 2014, 15, and 16 with, the downturn and crude pricing. But, you know, the one thing that's interesting, Jason, and I think was exciting during that time period is it really did drive a focus on efficiency and a focus on partnerships. We saw that a lot, specifically in the Williston Basin. And now that the, you know, the price is rebounding and there's an uptick in activity levels in the Bakken, in particular on oil and gas, one of the things that we're seeing, and you mentioned those interface points, and those are really critical. The terminals that we've got in North Dakota are super strategic. And, you know, one of the things that the Great Northern Corridor Coalition focuses on is the fact that we are a multimodal organization. We know that, you know, there's a first mile and a last mile for every little bit of freight that moves. And so while rail transportation is an important component of that, really, we can't solve the puzzle if we don't have solid roadway connections and solid trucking partners and, you know, all of the things that go along that with the communities. And in fact, I think one of the evidence of that, of the fact of how critical that is to us, is that the two projects that we're supporting in North Dakota for the North Dakota Department of Transportation, both of those are highway projects. So the first project we're supporting is the replacement of the Long X Bridge on Highway 85, which is, you know, obviously a critical north-south connector. But the second project is the improvements to Highway 1804 east of Williston to Newtown. And I think that, you know, from a corridor-wide perspective, one of the things that we focus on is making sure that freight, whether it's energy freight or agricultural freight or, you know, consumer goods freight, has the ability to move. Now, along with that, is also the development of some new terminals and the repurposing of some of the old terminals. You know, there's a lot of infrastructure that's in place in North Dakota today. Many of the crude loops or the crude facilities that really helped to pioneer the industry are looking at sort of repurposing themselves right now, and we've got an opportunity to be working with several of them. And part of what we do is you know, consult on, you know, relationships with the railroad or consult on new business opportunities, and then also making connections with our global contacts, our port partners in the Pacific Coast, our business partners in the Chicago and Minnesota area. So it's an exciting time. It's really exciting for North Dakota right now as we're kind of reinventing ourselves here.
To listen to the full-length interview with Curtis Shuck, Executive Director for the Great Northern Corridor Coalition, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Building the Bakken Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter. All of our social media links are available at thecrudelife.com. Just simply click on the social button right there at thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
Underneath the stage lights, you been up all night, driving home and pouring your whole midnight.
The music on today's program is written and performed by singer-songwriter Brooks West. To find out more about Brooks West and his music, visit thecrudelife.com, click on the Musicians tab. Once again, that's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
Jason Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies.
Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this? Nothing. You need a raise.
June 15th, save the date. That's June 15th, the Bakken Barbecue in Dickinson, North Dakota. That's June 15th. Be sure to save the date today, and we'll see you June 15th at the Bakken Barbecue in Dickinson, North Dakota. back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Thank you, folks, for joining us this week on Building the Bakken, the most trusted energy brand in the Bakken today. Up next, we talk with Greg Walker, president of Natural Resources Now Group, and one of the most recognized and respected national leaders in natural resources policy.
I should just note as an aside, I don't begrudge these organizations their tactics. They're quite sophisticated at it. They're well-funded, well-organized, and really bright from a tactical point of view. And if you're in the nonprofit world, this is what you do. You can't go around telling the public the problem has been solved, and they won't need you anymore. So you have to say the sky is about to fall, and the world is going to hell in a handbasket. Everyone send money. Nobody writes checks to organizations who have solved the problem, and there's no problem anymore. So they will never admit when we have, in fact, cleaned up the air and water way beyond what anyone thought possible 30 years ago, or that we've recovered endangered species, or, you know, whatever the victory is. They'll never declare victory. The sky is always about to fall. So I don't begrudge them that. I just want the people, the public, to understand it so that they'll, you know, so people can be their own judge and understand that there is an agenda at work that is not about cleaning up the environment. And let me just give you an example. I'm not trying to filibuster here, but one of the best examples that we see in the West, whether we're in Colorado or in North Dakota or where, is endangered species. And when you think about what happens, they put new species on the endangered list every time there's a problem of any sort. That's why we have well over 2,000 species on the endangered list now. And we have recovered and taken off the list fewer than one-half of 1% ever in the history of the Act. Nobody concentrates on recovering the species, only listing them, and then we're using that as a tool to control habitat. Well, when the argument's all about habitat and not about species, then it's inevitable that the discussion devolves to land use every single time. So the argument is always about whether to close the roads or ban snowmobiles or stop logging or stop oil and gas or stop mining or stop grazing, stop everything. It's everything in the world other than the species. So what we did, and this is really the aha moment for me, in Colorado, we wanted to turn that on its head by actually recovering endangered species so they could be taken off the endangered list. So we built hatchery to raise endangered fish. We started bringing back to the state, reintroducing populations of lynx and desert bighorns and moose and river otters and black-footed ferrets and boreal toads, all sorts of species that were endangered, with tremendous success, by the way. And every step of the way, these big environmental organizations and the federal agencies in charge were absolutely opposed to it. So I'll tell you, in fact, they threatened to bring lawyers and sue us to stop the effort at one point. And I just tell you, when you're doing the right thing for the environment that the public cares about and environmentalists are opposed to it, that's absolute proof that there's some agenda other than the environment at work. You know, if you think that people should stop driving their cars and stop using the energy that this world has so abundantly to heat their homes and to build a comfortable life and so on, that's fine. That's a perfectly legitimate debate. Bring it on. But that debate is not about polar bears. So when they try to use polar bears as the excuse to stop oil and gas drilling, it's a false agenda. The fact is there are more polar bears in north of the Arctic Circle than there have been in 75 years. And the numbers don't lie about that. But polar bears are cute, and you can use that as a tool to get at public opinion. And so my point of view in Colorado always was, if it's about polar bears, then let's make it about that. How many polar bears do you want? Where should they be? How long do they have to continue surviving before we declare them to be recovered and take them off the list? That shouldn't be the argument. If the argument's just about whether we should use energy, let's have that argument.
Kind of bringing up that 5,000-foot view a little bit, saying, you know, that they really politicized the argument by, you know, picking these different low-hanging fruits of pulling at the heartstrings. And we experienced that in North Dakota with the DAPL protest. I've been noticing something for the last 3 years, which is an increased polarization, a political polarization in oil and gas. And I'll give you three examples. One was right there, the DAPL pipeline protest, and I'll get back to that in just a second. Second one, I was in Colorado, actually, and I was staying. I spent a lot of time in Colorado, and when I stay at hotels, I like to go down to those breakfast areas and just talk to people. And several times now, people have been kind of looking over their shoulder before they say they work in the oil and gas industry. And they say that because they say that they're kind of, they get publicly shamed for the oil and gas industry. And then the third thing is what you brought up is, you know, the polar bears. But I like to say, well, let's just flick the lights off then and see if they, you know, want to try to live off of solar and wind and a few other things. Because I got news for you. If it's not coming from natural gas, coal, or crude oil, it's down to like 5 to 10% of what's left to help power the country. So I did want to ask you about the politicizing of energy. That's where I'm going with all of this, with the DAPL pipeline, is where it really showed to me where we still have some issues here in the state with it in terms of political fallout. We had wounded veterans coming to protest. Hollywood, it made it a political thing. To me, my argument has been over the past several years, it seemed like it's become so extreme that when you mention oil and gas, people are coming back or lumping in right to life and abortion issues and gun control and that sort of thing when it comes to big oil. And that really concerns me. Do you understand what I'm saying by that? Am I way off base? Or are you witnessing the same thing?
No, I think you're right on. In fact, part of the problem we have with energy in this country is that it can be found most readily in communities that are supportive, but it has to be transported someplace else to where the population is. And so with oil and gas, you need pipelines, and with you can build power plants in communities where they're like that, but you still have to have power lines that go to the cities. So either way, you're going to wind up crossing Forest Service, BLM, National Park Service, you know, local lands and whatever. We see these controversies in the Dominion Pipeline in Virginia, the Keystone Pipeline across the Midwest. DAPL is as good an example as any. And the arguments are just flatly disingenuous. They get people all worried about public safety. But, you know, by a factor of 1,000, pipelines are way safer than trucks going up and down the road filled with oil, including crossing bridges over rivers. And, you know, they want to make it seem like, obviously, the pipe is going to break and the river will be polluted. But, of course, there aren't any examples of that ever happening. So it's a way to get people up in arms and to polarize the issue, as you correctly said. But the reality is, this country, you cannot build a prosperous economy without natural resources. And so the great challenge in our lifetime for natural resources leaders is how to provide the natural resources it takes to build a prosperous economy in ways that we can all be proud of. That's what the debate should always be about, and it just deteriorates into this us against them shouting match that's very, very unhelpful, and in fact, unhelpful to such an extreme. I've said this in a number of speeches, where talking about the growth of the environmental movement to the point of success beyond the wildest dreams of John Muir or Aldo Leopold or Rachel Carson or any of the other godfathers of environmentalism. None of them could have envisioned the massive size and strength and power and funding and so on of these organizations. But at the same time they've reached the pinnacle of success in that way, they've also become intellectually bankrupt. And by that I mean they have no answers to these great questions. How do you build a prosperous society without natural resources? That any idiot can stop anything in this country today. The question is, how are you going to supply the resources that it takes then? Because their answer to everything, no matter what it is, if you're talking about air, water, energy, forest, whatever, their answer to everything is stop that. Well, sorry, but stopping everything doesn't help.
To listen to the full-length interview with Greg Walker, president of the Natural Resources Group, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Building the Bakken Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter. All of our social media links are available at thecrudelife.com. Simply click on the social button at thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
Dinner table was set. She had collard greens and a pot of baked beans, but she hadn't cooked the main course yet. Oh, it's good to mind your own business, but you better pay attention too. You might turn a blind eye on the world, but there's always an eye on you.
The music on today's program is written and performed by singer-songwriter Brooks West. To find out more about Brooks West and his music, visit thecrudelife.com, click on the Musicians tab. Once again, that's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
That hand should have seen it coming. A hatchet and a budget block. But she was too wrapped up, strutting her stop to see the water was getting hot. Oh, it's good to mind your own business, but you better pay attention to me. You might turn a blind eye on the world, but there's always an eye on you.
It seems everywhere I go these days, someone is telling me about the success of Hatch Coaching. Listen to what professional speaker Mark J. Lindquist has to say.
To see Eric Hatch grow his business and then start to share it with other people, I think is one of those great steps in life. You know, what do you do in society? You succeed at a thing and then you teach other people how you did it. And now to see Eric duplicating his genius across the country, I'm telling you, there's a world changer down the street, and his name is Eric Hatch.
For more information, call 701-212-1572 or visit coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com.
Jason Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies. Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this? You need a raise.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota, is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet. The Davis Refinery, a project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota.
For Meridian June 15th, that's the Bakken Barbecue. Mark your calendars today, June 15th, the Bakken Barbecue coming to Dickinson, North Dakota. Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, Terry O'Clair, director for the North Dakota Department of Health, gives us an update on the Davis Refinery coming to Belfield, North Dakota.
It seemed to have validity, but also there were some that seemed to be duplicates. So if we just take maybe a minute or two and describe some of these emails to your best knowledge. I know you're still sorting through them. So.
Yeah, we're still looking at them, and we received roughly 11,000 emails. All of them were exactly the same, with the exception of maybe 500 of them. And many of those were also duplicate emails received from the same person that they'd sent a number of times. That being said, we recognize there are people who are both for and against the facility out there, but nevertheless, we're going to be looking through them and responding to those emails. Now, the ones that are going to obviously all the same will have one response for all of those emails, but it's still, you know, it takes some effort on our part to read through it and to make sure that we address your concerns.
On some of these emails, are they? You mentioned that they're coming in a batch form or something like that.
One at a time.
Oh.
And we as of today, I believe that we have them on our website. The staff is going to work out a way to put them all on our website, so the public as well as media could review them if they wish to. So they should be on our website.
Okay, I should rephrase it. I'm somewhat familiar with a lot of these political activism sites and political action sites, to where they'll give you a form letter, and then they'll even give you either the senator or the legislature email address. And some of them even go a step further, where it's just even like boxes you fill in, and then it just goes directly to the specific spot. Is that what I'm hearing? Is that where the bulk of these emails are coming from? Or is there, you know, you mentioned they came in separately, but they all said the same thing. So, of course, I'm thinking form letter, template letter, political action type of a thing. I don't know if you know any of that information, but is my speculation at all been discussed or thought about or anything like that?
You might be on topic there, Jason. I don't know how they're generated, whether there's a political action group out there or not. But it's obvious that, you know, that there was probably one author that circulated, and then people sent it in themselves. So, you know, even though they didn't write it themselves, they certainly have an opinion on that, and we'll review that just like we do the rest of them.
How about when it comes to, you mentioned that I think 500 were separate or something along those lines, you know, give or take. But when we're talking about the air quality permit, were these letters or were these comments, were they affiliated with that or did they go outside of it? I know you mentioned the location in our previous interview, that sort of thing. How much of the 11,000 or whatever the number is were on point with the air quality?
Most of them were. We don't like the location. What we're looking for in our public comment is if there's any, you know, technical issues, if people had actually looked at the permit, and I should note that we also have a tracking mechanism to see how many people looked at the draft permit that we had online, and there was only about 200 clicks on that. So at least roughly 200 people at least looked at the permit, and we were hoping to get, like I said, either or technical or legal comments as to, you know, is there some area that we should focus on? Is there some area that we may have made a mistake in our analysis? And now we did get some comments, written comments from EPA as well as the National Park Service that we'll be looking at very carefully. I think I noted to you earlier in the week that we'd worked with EPA and the Park Service throughout our entire review process and gave them a copy of the application and had meetings and things with them, or I should say conference calls, you know, to get their input on it. They provided comments during the comment period, too, and we'll take a hard look at those, and there's going to be perhaps some changes that we'll incorporate into our draft permit based on those comments.
We're looking at a lot of the emails were duplicates. There were some comments that you guys are looking at, and it'll take a few months for it to go. But for me, that sticker shock of 11,000 emails, that's where I got the soap opera from. I was like, whoa, geez, holy smokes. That took me back because the way it was kind of projected or the way that it was framed a little bit, I kind of, you know, and I talked to you earlier in the week, and you made, you know, your body, your tone, your body language, whatever you want to call it, didn't seem like it was like how I guess, digested it through some of the other media outlets, if that makes sense. But more or less, I just haven't seen much surprises from my end. I think a lot of this stuff is going as expected, including probably a lot of these comments. Are you seeing anything from your side? I know it's a refinery, it's new, but any of these big major red flags up to at this point from the air quality side?
The primary concern that we're hearing from citizenry and others really is the location. They're concerned how close it is to the park. And I think I noted to you earlier, you know, the health department doesn't have jurisdiction on the location. You know, that's a local zoning matter. So we don't, you know, even if the public wanted us to tell them to move it someplace else, that's not under our jurisdiction. We can't take the application as we get it. It's up to the company to pick the site and work with the local zoning people to see if they agree with it. But it's not the health department that can decide where it should be located. That being said, the dispersion modeling we do, you know, the closer it is to the park, maybe the more impact it has. But the emissions from the facility are so low that even through our dispersion modeling, it was less than the significant impact levels at the Class 1 area.
All right, Mr. Terry O'Clair, we asked for a few minutes. You've given us more as we go into overtime here from our interview earlier in the week, which we're going to splice into one interview for everybody's listening pleasure. And the first part was more or less just kind of an update on the comments. The second part was responding to the number of emails, which kind of was a sticker shock to me. But now that I kind of know it a little bit, I do believe my speculation of a little bit of a political action, a little bit of a template, a little bit of a website that can help corral some of the things is probably more of the leading cause if I'm going to make a bet on things based on my background of knowing how that industry works. But that's not the health department's concern. Their concern is to look back, and you guys are going to respond to every single email, they said. So there you go, people. Every single email. And you did get some handwritten ones too, which is very good to see, because So much of today's world is electronic and computerized. If somebody's forging a handwritten note or trying to do that, man, they're really all in on that. But it's good to see you got the good variety. Any final comments you might want to make on the final comments period as we kind of conclude here?
Well, we will be responding to the comments. So you'd indicated that, you know, will we respond to everyone individually? I guess I wouldn't say we would do that because a lot of them were the same comments. So we're categorizing what the comments were and we'll respond, you know, to that same comment. But it's part of the process. I will say that this is the most emails that we've received on a project in the time that I've been here. But in today's age with computer, that's easy to do. We certainly want the public to provide us comments, and we'll take a look at if we get one or if we get, you know, 10,000, we'll take a look at them.
To listen to the full-length interview with Terry O'Claire with the North Dakota Department of Health or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Building the Bakken Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/thecrudelife. facebook.com/thecrudelife. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
No mercy from the dead black sky. It's you and the road in the middle of the night. It's you and the road in the middle of the night.
The music on today's program is written and performed by singer-songwriter Brooks West. To find out more about Brooks West and his music, visit thecrudelife.com, click on the Musicians tab. Once again, that's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
Every drop of water in the world is ice, sharpened in a sickle like silver knives. The lines keep coming where the lanes divide. It's you and the road in the middle of the night. It's you and the road in the middle of the night. Soft and warm, yeah. Hey, yeah.
Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Well, don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Greg Tavin of Emerging Prairies has to say about Hatch coaching.
I got to watch him give a talk at TEDx Brookings, and I saw him come into his own where he shared uncomfortable things from his past in a way that created a teaching environment. And Eric's somebody that could easily lead with all he's accomplished, and it's a long list.
To find out more information about Hatch coaching or to have Eric Hatch come to your company or event, visit coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com.
Jason Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies. Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this? You need a raise.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet. The Davis Refinery, a project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, the most trusted energy brand in the Bakken today. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Thank you, folks, for joining us. Up next, the governor of North Dakota and entrepreneur, Doug Burgum.
The partnership with coal. How is that going to look for the Bakken in North Dakota? I mean, when a lot of people think of coal, they put put it in a different category than oil and gas. Mm-hmm. Last 5 years, oil and gas has even understood that they got to start looking at solar and wind and coal, and they got to start diversifying their portfolio a little bit. So when I heard you talk about the coal collaboration, I thought that was a great idea. And I know the ERC's got a lot of work up there. So talk to me about what's your vision with this coal collaboration then?
Well, most of the guys that are in coal in North Dakota, and we've got some big ones that are all they're in baseload power generation. That's the business they're in. So the natural extension for them was get into wind. But if they're going to continue to grow, and if we want to continue to expand on this tremendous resource that we have, where we've got some estimates 700 years of easily accessible coal in North Dakota near the surface, where we can reclaim it and people can farm it, and it's guys are doing it in a way that's working for the the physical environment. The big issue we have to address is CO2, and so we have proximity between where our coal is and where the Bakken is, to the sense that we're talking 80 to 120 miles between these two centers, and with that we have the opportunity to capture CO2 and use it for enhanced oil recovery. And there's not that many places in the planet where you've got this much available CO2 next to this much available shale oil, and we're in a cost-effective way we can do that. So at the Energy and Environmental Resource Research Center, which at the University of North Dakota, which you just mentioned, the state of North Dakota, in conjunction with the Lignite Energy, putting collaborative R&D dollars into a project there to try to really understand how much we can enhance oil production by sequestering that CO2 underground. So we solve two problems at once, and we get keep the CO2 out of the atmosphere, and we produce more oil on the outside. And then again, this is an industry. Coal industry has really been under attack in this country for the last 8 years. And so when they were under attack, some of their R&D, their research slowed down because they weren't uncertain about the future of their industry. It was harder for them to get into capital markets when there's uncertainty. Administrative uncertainty at the federal level. The coming out the backside of that with a new administration, where there's an opportunity for the coal industry to again make new investments. They also see this as an opportunity, and we have just signed. I was at the Western Governors Association meeting last week. So along with Governor Matt Mead from Wyoming, Governor Steve Bullock from Montana, two other big coal states, and then the Saskatchewan Premier Brad Wall, we were signed a joint agreement between North Dakota, Wyoming, Montana, Saskatchewan about sharing information and research relative to CO2 capture and enhanced oil recovery, because even what we're doing with industry in North Dakota and the EERC is probably not even big enough scale. And so it's great that we've got this multi-state, multi-country collaboration going, because if we can achieve some breakthroughs there, it could be good for coal, it could be good for oil.
Transition to natural gas, another energy source that seems to be in abundance. Mm-hmm. What's your vision for natural gas?
Well, again, like a lot of the shale plays, when you're in the heart of the Bakken and getting your peak oil production, you're also producing a lot of gas. And as a country, we're producing so much gas that it's caused a depression in the prices. We're very fortunate that we've got a number of midstream companies that have made significant investments in North Dakota, and then there's a number of those that are planning expansions where they're met with the Oasis folks last week, and they were talking about how they're going to go from, processing, 80 million cubic feet a day to 345 million cubic feet a day. So it's like a quadrupling of their plant capacity. We know that there are other midstream producers that are looking at similar kinds of projects, because as we produce more gas, we've got an opportunity to do more value-added processing, here in state as it comes out of the ground. And that's another area where we have to continue to work on all the gas gathering lines to collect all that, because we've got some flaring goals that we've been making progress on as a state, but we're going to be challenged on those, and some of that comes down to working collaboratively with the landowners to make sure that we get the right kind of gathering lines in place, so we can gather the gas and make the investments for these midstream folks to be productive.
To listen to the full-length interview with Doug Burgum, the governor of North Dakota and entrepreneur, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Building the Bakken Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter. All of those social media links are available at thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
Come falling down on me every time I roll back to town. Every time I roll back around.
The music on today's program is written and performed by singer-songwriter Brooks West. To find out more about Brooks West and his music, visit thecrudelife.com, click on the Musicians tab. Once again, that's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
I can almost feel the wind blow and taste that cool, dry, dusty autumn air in my mouth. Well, the nighttime lights are from light on the horizon. Under the soft red glow of the wintertime sea clouds, and all the memories come falling down on me every time I roll back to town. Every time I roll back around.
And that concludes this week's episode of Building the Bakken Radio. Building the Bakken will be back next week at this time on this radio station. For a full list of our media affiliates, visit buildingthebakken.com. That's buildingthebakken.com. And from the staff at Building the Bakken, my name is Jason Spies. We're asking you to be safe, be happy, and make it a great day. Thank you, folks, for joining us. We'll see you next week.
Days when I feel lost and separated, and every step I take falls on foreign ground, and I feel like going back to North Dakota. I'll take a job, find a wife, and finally settle down. But right now I'm addicted to emotion and freedom that my selfish solitude provides. And I'd hate to think that I'd become a stranger to the place where I was born, where my heart still resides, where the nighttime lights, earth and light on the horizon, under the soft red glow of a wintertime city clouds.
Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Christy Huber, president of the United Way of Cass Clay, says about Hatch coaching.
One of the best things I can share is I've had an opportunity to sit down with a community leader and Eric. And we were talking, and this community leader said, you know, United Way, what's your connection there? And Eric said, you know, as a child, my family would have been a family that would have benefited from United Way programming. And you don't necessarily get to see that down the road, because you see someone who's been very successful in business and you see somebody who has helped a lot of other people along the way. But sometimes we don't stop to ask, you know, what's the why? What's your why behind that?
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet. The Davis Refinery, a project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
June 15th, save the date. That's June 15th, the Bakken Barbecue in Dickinson, North Dakota. That's June 15th. Be sure to save the date today, and we'll see you June 15th at the Bakken Barbecue in Dickinson, North Dakota.